Thank you, Sue. That was a long passage. Good job. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing this morning? I'm doing great. It's a good morning. It's a wonderful morning. Before we get into God's word today, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many joys of this day, the many celebrations of this day. I thank you that you are present here with us, that you are among us, Jesus. Father, I pray that as we get into your word this morning, may you open our eyes to see, and our ears to hear, and our hearts to be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for myself as I share what you put on my heart. I pray that my words might fall, but your words might pierce the hearts of those listening. We know that my words can't change anyone's life, but your word has changed the lives of your people through for ages and ages. So I pray that your living word that is Christ get into us this morning. You fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that we might walk out of here transformed, changed, to do your work wherever we go. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, this past week was Ash Wednesday, and it marks the beginning of a new season in the church calendar. It marks a transition in our celebrations. It marks the beginning of Lent. And Lent is a time where we reflect on our brokenness and our sin in preparation for Easter. And we don't just reflect on the bad things we do in Lent, but we reflect on the brokenness of the world. And as we do that, we are more ready for the joyous celebration that is the resurrection. So today, in order to talk about Lent and reflect on Lent, we're going to look at heroes of the faith. And you might be wondering, why in the world are we going to look at heroes to think about our brokenness? Well, we find that in this passage, it's not their reputation that makes them heroic, but it's their faith that made them heroic. But often when we think about heroes, we think about the good things that they do. We don't think about their beliefs and the system. We think about their acts. And I often feel that way when people think about me as a pastor. They think, because I'm a pastor, I should do certain things. And when they find out I'm less than what they expect, they're concerned and confused. And as a pastor, I have to deal with the fact that I'm also human, and I make mistakes, and that's what Lent is for us today. But often when it comes to Lent and we're forced to deal with that brokenness, we can feel like a fraud. I certainly do when people say, oh, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't struggle with that because you're a pastor. And I think sometimes we all feel that way when it comes to our brokenness and our sin. We think, oh, we feel like such a fraud. We shy away from it, from reflecting on this, because it's a difficult feeling. How do we deal with our sin? How do we deal with our brokenness and yet still call ourselves Christian? We feel ashamed. We don't want to think about ourselves as broken. We live in a culture that says, focus on the positive, focus on the good. But then in Lent, we're forced to focus on what is broken. And that leaves us with this icky, difficult feeling, right? And then we feel like a fraud. Because we play the part of Christian, we're known as Christians, but some days we just don't feel like one, right? Does anyone feel that way? Does anyone feel like a fraud some days? Where it's just like you're trying so hard, but you're a broken person. And you're supposed to be this hero of the faith. You're supposed to be like the heroes that we read in this passage. So if Lent is a season that forces us to focus on our sin and brokenness, the question I have this morning is, how do we put our faith in light of our sin and our brokenness? How do we maintain the identity of Christian, but also focus on our brokenness? So today we will learn that faith is not about our reputation. Faith is not about what we do, but faith, simply put, is trust. Trust in God's faithfulness. You see, this passage isn't about heroic people, but heroic faith. We're going to look at this Hall of Fame of Heroes. What I want to do is look at it from a different perspective. We all heard the story of their faith, but I want to start by talking about the untold story of each of these heroes. They are examples of faith, and if we look at the end of verse 2, it says, these people's faith gave them good reputation, right? They were heroes, legends to the Israelite people, people that not only Israel wanted to be like, but we want to be like. We also have to recognize there's a brokenness to their story too. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And we'll start with Abel, right? Abel was the one that was God blessed and was looked down as giving a good sacrifice and a pleasing sacrifice. And he's an example of faith, but behind Abel's faith was a messed up family. The first murder recorded in the Bible. They had some pretty big family issues, amen? There was brokenness in that story. Noah, he was a great guy. He built the ark, saved all the animals, was a man of faith. But does anyone remember what happened right after he got out the ark? He got drunk. He had problems with alcohol. So he's a man of faith, but he was still broken too. Abraham, he's a father of the nation of Israel. But as we saw in the video, he was scared for his life, so he forsook his wife many times. He was this great man of faith, but didn't know how to not lie and give his wife away. Isaac, he had the same problem as his dad. He gave his wife away too. And he also, his uncle, he kind of, is it, yeah, it's Isaac that kind of, do you see? No, it's Jacob. We got that mixed up last night, I'm sorry. Jacob, the next guy, he deceived his uncle. But Jacob, he was the deceiver, right? The liar, the cheat. He cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He strapped goat fur to his arms to deceive his father. And then he's scared, so he ran away. He couldn't stop lying until God wrestled him to the ground and finally made him confess and say, I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. That's my name. Joseph. We don't like to talk about this, but Joseph, he was a snotty brat. He really was. As the video said, his coat was full of pride. He went to his brothers and said, you're going to bow down to me. And that made him mad. And then he went to his parents and said the same thing. If I'd his brother, I would have lied and left him in the dirt. See, he's just as broken. Moses. Moses is one of my favorite guys because he's Israel's first prophet, the leader, the one that led the people out of Exodus. But Moses, he had anger issues. Right? The very first thing he did as a leader was kill someone. He saw an argument and struck down an Egyptian. Instead of dealing with that sin and brokenness, he buried it in the dirt or the sand and ran away. Later on, as he's leading the people are complaining about water. And God said, speak to the rock, and water will flow forth. But in his frustration, he beats the rock with a stick. Right? And then later on, when he's coming down the mountain and his face is shining, he's been with God for days on end, so much so that he is literally set apart from the people. And he comes down with these Ten Commandments that God wrote on stone. And who knows how long it took God to do that. But he sees something and it frustrates him. And what's he do? Smashes him right on the ground. The only guy in all of Israelite history to break all the Ten Commandments at once. Yes, I got a laugh out of that. Rahab, she's known as the prostitute. A woman that led a broken life and probably had so many things done to her that left herself more broken. Not only was she a prostitute, she probably ran the brothel. You see, each one of these people we look at as heroes, but they're just as broken as we are. If you read news, church news, all around the world, you see pastors are held up on pedestals, and the world's in shock when we find out they're just as broken and sinful as the rest of us. So what makes the difference? Why are these people heroes when they're just as broken as us? Does anyone have a clue? What's the one word that is present in each of these sentences?
Faith.
Faith. Faith makes the difference. Faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So that's faith. Faith is hope and trust in something. And what the heroes of old trusted in is they trusted in what God said. They had faith in what he said and did. It was Abraham who had faith when God said, "Come out of the land of your fathers and go to the land that I'm calling you." He had faith in what God told him. Noah, he trusted that when God said there's going to be a flood, he trusted God and said, okay, I'll build a boat and I'll get all these animals. Verse 13 says they all looked for a promised land. And at the end of that passage, it says they all got good reputation, but they did not receive the promise that was promised them. See, faith for the heroes of old was trust in what God said and hope in a promise that he would give. But what does that mean for us? What is faith for us then? I think faith, simply put, is trust in God. See, sometimes we have misconceptions about faith. Faith is not trusting God in order to get something. Faith isn't trusting God so we can get a blessing. That's just using God as a means to an end. Faith is not a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's not trusting in God so that we can get into heaven and avoid punishment. Faith is trusting in the person of God. We trust in God because his word became flesh and all his promises are fulfilled. See, the people of old, they had promises that they didn't receive, and they died in faith believing that they would receive this promise. But we live in faith knowing we've already received it. We've already received Christ. See, faith is different for us now because we're not looking for a promise that's going to come. We are looking at a promise that has already come. We don't have faith in a word, but a person that is Christ. We have received that promise. We have faith in Jesus. And that phrase you can see all throughout all of Paul's letter, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ gives us salvation, gives us redemption. In Galatians, I messed up here. Ignore that. Sorry about that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." And what I want to do here is I want to stop, and we're going to go a little bit deeper in this idea of what faith in Christ means. We're going to learn a little Greek today. Everyone excited for that? So when you go home from church and people ask you, what'd you hear in the sermon today? You could say, oh, it was all Greek to me. So this phrase, faith in Christ, is a Greek phrase called pistis Christou or pistas Christou. And it's translated as faith in Christ. But in Greek, depending on the way a phrase is put in the Bible, it can be translated different ways. So pistas Christou can be translated in two ways. It can be translated as faith in Christ, but it can also be translated faithfulness of Christ. And think about what that change is about, even this passage, so that we might be made right with God because of the faithfulness of Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. See how that changes things? And I'm not advocating to change the Bible. I'm just advocating to see faith a little differently. Faith is not about our reputation, but what God has already done. Faith is both faith in the person of Christ, but also faith in what Christ has already done. And that changes drastically about how we look at our brokenness and our sin. See, Lent is a time where we're forced to look at our sin, but because we have faith in Christ, we not only look at our sin and our brokenness and the brokenness of the world around us, we can turn to the cross and we can look at the faithfulness of Christ. You see, that's so important that when we look at our own brokenness and our own sin, we automatically look to the cross. Because the cross is a symbol not only of Christ's sacrifice that brings us life, but a symbol of Christ's faithfulness. That he would go to the point of death, humiliation, to save us. See, Lent forces us not to rely on our reputation. It's not about what we do or the good that we do. We're not going to be heroes by building up our own reputation and what we have done. We're going to be heroes in our brokenness to look to Christ and see what he has done. See, the truth of it is, if we can't recognize our need for the cross, we can't recognize the weight of the cross. Let me say that again. If we don't actually force to look at our own brokenness and our own sin, and we recognize our need for the cross and our need for salvation, we can't recognize the weight of the cross. And that's what makes Easter so joyous, is recognizing that in our sin and in our brokenness, we could do nothing. We can't do a single thing to build up our reputation. But because of Christ, and because of our faith in Christ and what he has already done, we can be heroes. So it's going to be a little shorter today, but that's okay. Well, what I want us to do in this season of Lent is to reflect on our sin, to truly look at our own brokenness, to think about the ways in which we are faithless and the ways in which the world is broken. And if you struggle with that, just turn on the TV, flip to the news, you'll see all the brokenness around us. And it gives us this uncomfortable feeling of maybe we feel like a fraud. When we mess up, we struggle with a sin we don't want anyone to know about, but we can't fix it, but we're supposed to be this Christian. And what it does is it forces us to not go to ourselves and not look at self-pity, but to look at the cross and look at the faithfulness of Christ. You see, Lent forces us to look at sacrifice and a Christian life on a daily level. It's a process. See, we often think about the Christian life as a big overarching thing where we go through phases. We start as a sinner. We recognize that we have sin, we confess our sin, repent, we are receive salvation, receive the Holy Spirit, and then we go to heaven. But what I've learned is the Christian life is kind of a mini cycle of that every day, where we recognize that we sin, we confess our sin to God, we repent of it, receive the Holy Spirit, are transformed, and we wake up the next day and do the same thing. And that's what Lent forces us to do. It forces us to continually do that each day. So my challenge for you this morning and this week is to write your hero story. It is by faith in Christ and what his faithfulness has done in dealing with our brokenness and sin that we can do amazing things. So that we can continue to be in that hero hall of fame. See, and I think about this in my own life. Yes, I can be a little immature, and I can joke a little bit too much, and I can say things that are maybe a little bit edgy, but it's by faith Joe showed the love of God at Sailors in Newville. Now, I'm not going to do this for everyone because I don't want to call out anyone else's sin, but it's by faith that Connie spreads joy to the little ones every story time every week. That's what makes Connie a hero. It's by faith that Sue serves tirelessly in the lunchroom. You see, it's not about our reputation and what we can do, but it's because of what Christ has already done and what Christ does in us that we can do these things. It's by faith that Linda serves as the treasurer of Neighbors in Christ and goes there every week and serves the people. It's not something that Linda can do alone. It's something that because of what Christ done, Linda can do. I'm sorry to call you people out, but I'm just trying to make an illustration here. It's not by our own merit that we can do anything, because when we look at ourselves, we are broken and sinful and fallen people. But it's by looking at the cross that we gain the strength to have faith to do amazing things. So my question for you this morning, church, and for the rest of this week is, what will your faith story be? If someone were to ask you, how do you live your life? What will your answer be? By faith, what will God do in and through you? And maybe you need to take some time to write this down, right? Start with a letter of all your brokenness. Say, God, this is all I bring to the table. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I sin. I'm broken. My life is a mess. But by faith, I'm going to do this for you. And by your faithfulness, I can do so much more. Again, faith is not about our reputation or what we can do. Faith is about putting our trust in Christ and knowing He's already done the work. He's already destroyed sin, destroyed death. And because of that, we can live new lives. So what will your faith story be? Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. And I pray that we might live in a time right now reflecting our own brokenness and sin. But every time we think about that, we are drawn to the cross. We are drawn to the person that we put our faith in. And we look at Jesus, your faithfulness on the cross. And in turn, we might be inspired to live by faith despite our brokenness. For we know we are all broken. We are all messed up. We all have difficult situations. But it's not our reputation that makes us heroes, but your reputation that gives us strength to do amazing things in you. So I pray that over church this morning. I pray that as we leave here, you might give us strength to live by faith, to work by faith. We love you, Lord. Give us strength to serve you in all we do. It's in your name I pray. Amen. We don't have a sending song, do we? Go in peace.